You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO, at 102.7 FM.
On March 8th, Vancouver lawyer Leonard Dowse released his report on the state of legal aid in BC. The report came out of the Public Commission on Legal Aid established in June last year following round after round of cuts to the Legal Services Society budget. Commissioner Leonard Dowse was appointed by the Canadian Bar Association, Law Society, Law Foundation, and others. His mandate was to travel around the province taking submissions from individuals and organizations about the legal aid system in BC. Over a period of months, Commissioner Dowse held hearings in 11 communities and received about 75 written submissions. Alison Bruin is co-chair of the Coalition for Public Legal Services and executive director of West Coast LEAF, Women's Legal Education and Action Fund. She joins me on the phone this morning to talk about the Dowse report. Hello, Alison.
Hi.
Now, the report says that the legal aid system is failing to meet even the most basic needs of British Columbians. How does the amount of legal aid money available now compare with, say, 10 years ago?
Well, 10 years ago, by way of example, we had legal aid services that are called poverty law services that help anyone on low income deal with legal issues like residential tenancy issues, debt problems, welfare fraud accusations, that kind of thing. 10 years ago, legal aid through the Legal Services Society served about 40,000 people around the province, helping them with those legal problems. And now Legal Services Society does not provide any poverty law services at all.
Wow.
Yeah, that's just one example. There's other examples in the area of family law and criminal law, despite the public assumptions about what's available in criminal law as well.
Commissioner Dowse makes the case that legal aid's an essential public service. Why does he make that argument?
Well, that argument, which I support, is basically arguing that our education system, our healthcare system, our social welfare system and services system, along with our legal system, are basic pillars of our Canadian society, and that legal aid is the essential service that gives us access to that system that helps us, our society, run more smoothly. So he's describing it as one of those four pillars of that reflect the values and things that we care about in Canada.
Now, Alison, the report says that one of the most pressing concerns is a lack of legal aid for what's known as poverty law matters. What kind of issues are we talking about there?
Those are basically any kind of civil legal problem that that someone on low income would have to deal with. People who are dealing with sometimes it's employment law issues, sometimes it's debt issues, consumer, you know, they've signed up for a loan and didn't read the small print and suddenly have this big corporation coming after them, government accusing them of fraud, having to face that accusation and deal with it, that kind of thing.
It sounds like, from what I'm hearing, that people who are already in poverty and don't have much resources, when they're faced with these legal issues, it just drives them deeper into trouble, legal trouble, and I imagine other forms of trouble as well.
Yeah, there's certain areas of law that if not addressed right away, we know that they turn into quite a host of nest of problems. And for example, in family law, if somebody's interests after their marriage breaks down, and usually it's the woman in this case, because women's income on average goes down considerably after marriage breakdown, can't afford a lawyer to assert and outline what their rights are, or even find out about their rights, much less argue for them. Around things like spousal support, child support, whether or not the house, part of the house should be theirs or not, or all those sorts of issues, that can absolutely spiral if she doesn't have help with that. And that can turn into job loss. I know women who've gone down to part-time jobs to try to get under the financial rules that LSS has, Legal Services Society has, around who can get some family law legal aid help, and they've, you know, cut back their hours and asked for part-time hours so that they'll go underneath that radar, though it's pretty low financial guidelines, so that's hard to do. But yeah, it's and it can spiral and into health issues. There haven't been any real good studies in Canada about the impact of not dealing with civil legal problems like this. But in Europe and England and Australia, they've done some intense studies that illustrate the kind of health and other social issues that can emerge if legal issues aren't dealt with well and early.
What have been some of the consequences within the court system itself of the underfunding of legal aid in British Columbia?
What happens if something gets to court? It means that it's pretty high level conflict, right? So it's already had a long history before it actually gets to the court system, to in the physical court. And what the statistics from the courthouse show is that where both parties are represented by a lawyer who's managing the case, they're almost twice as more likely to actually settle and not go to a full-blown trial. And a trial in a civil case, like a family case or a debt issue, it can take a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, even more. And if someone's unrepresented, even if it does go to trial, it's more likely to go longer because people take longer to deal with issues. So we have more trials and longer trials because of the underfunding of legal aid, which costs all of us money in terms of the system.
And what about the lawyers who are working within the system who might have formerly done some legal aid work? Is there an impact on them as well?
Yeah, one of the things that Dowse points out in his report, which is a really important concept, and it's not one necessarily that people outside the legal community might understand, but the fact is, well, it's absolutely understandable, but no one might see it unless it's pointed out to them. Even I didn't. And that is that if cases in which someone's represented properly about issues that low-income people deal with on a daily level, if they don't get to court and aren't properly addressed, meaning the evidence isn't properly put before the court doesn't make a good decision, you actually lose an entire jurisprudence, like an entire area of law, as a result of those cases not being tried. So the only cases that get tried, the only case law that develops in Canada is law that relates to people with upper incomes. So that's one impact. The other is in family law that we know. We have West Coast Leaf put out a report called Not with a 10-Foot Pole, which was about looking at law students and whether or not they were going to go into family law and some of the issues around family law. And the truth is, without good legal aid, it's hard to practice family law and learn about it. And, you know, often in a law firm, a junior lawyer who's just starting out, a senior lawyer who's been doing it forever, that junior lawyer can do some legal aid files and move them forward and learn and develop skill in that area by doing this kind of work. And so we're actually finding that because family law is getting more complicated, because for that reason, but also because some people aren't represented and all that sort of stuff, it's getting harder for lawyers even to go into family law, and it's becoming more stressful for everybody.
And are lawyers taking on pro bono work at this point?
Oh, they absolutely are, as much as they can. A lot of lawyers do a lot of free work. I mean, I know a lawyer in a small town in, I think it was in Kitimat, I'm not sure, a small town in the interior anyway, who was saying when the big cuts hit, because they cut the funding in 2002 by like 40%, and that's when part of it began, the worst of the problems that Dowse is pointing out. But he described that he had, you know, say 30 files that were legal aid files that were family law. And when the cuts hit and he was told he wouldn't get any more, there wouldn't be any legal aid funding to support those files, he had to actually make a decision which of those 30 files he felt he could do for free and which he had to tell he couldn't represent them anymore. So he chose to take on some of them for free, but he couldn't afford to do all of them for free because he wouldn't have a law practice for very long if he did that. And so that's the kind of choices that lawyers have to make every day in their firm is, you know, how can I handle doing this work for free and for how long and all that sort of stuff. So, yeah, there's lots of lawyers, but it's pro bono is one thing, and it's a great thing, but it's a piece. And the thing about legal aid is all of these things, there's lots of tools to fill various gaps, but at the end of the day, legal representation is needed for some files, and if that's not available, it causes this kind of trickle effect that Daus points out in his report.
What's been the response of the Legal Services Society to the critique in the report?
Well, I'm not clear about it. The Legal Services Society is the body that is delegated the responsibility for providing legal aid, and so they get funding every year to fulfill their obligations under the Legal Services Society Act. So they're called LSS, and they were the institution that had its funding cut back in 2002 by 40% and has been all since then really struggling to try to provide and fulfill their mandate and provide what they can. Their response really the last few years to any critique or any raising of the concern about the state of legal aid has been quite defensive, and it's not really clear to me why. I think they're afraid that people, if we say there's a legal aid crisis, people won't realize that there is some legal aid available and there is some help available to them, and it is there for sure. They have a family law legal aid, a family law website that is quite substantive and extensive, but that doesn't mean that anyone with a family law problem, like every individual who has one, can go to that website and get help. People are reporting their experiences in Daus' report and elsewhere of the struggle to get even what legal aid is available. You know, in family law, for example, there's a requirement that you're eligible if there's safety issues, that you're at risk, and that makes sense on the surface. But there are women who are experiencing violence who try to access legal aid and don't get it, and it's not clear why. And that's been their experience of it. But Legal Services Society has taken a very bizarre stance, in my mind, to both Daus' report and any of the critiques that are raised by trying to defend what they do have. And frankly, anybody that provides legal aid is going to have these issues and needs more funding. So, yeah.
In your position as executive director of West Coast Leaf, Allison, what kind of changes would you like to see to the way legal aid is administered?
Well, I think those recommendations are all, many of them are actually quite practical, despite Legal Services Society thinking they're not. But I think for us and for women right now, the immediate need we see is that we see there are many women-serving organizations all over the province that have really been struggling to try to support their clients through the family law system. And what we think is immediately necessary, if possible, is to provide those organizations with the ability to hire their own staff lawyer to provide representation to their clients. There's an organization in town called the Domestic Workers Association, and they've been doing that for years, where they have only three staff people, but one of them is a lawyer and is able to help women and men with their immigration and employment issues in that context. And we just really think that would be a quick way to address some of the really pressing problems and allow those organizations, family services of various kinds, transition houses, women's centers, allow them to do the job that they're actually there to do and not be providing legal aid and legal support.
Now, as you mentioned, the Daus report makes a number of recommendations, most of which are going to be dependent on some of the money that's being cut, being put back into the system. What are the chances of that happening?
Well, it's about political will, right? It's about this government's been, for the past 10 years, has been quite clear that this is not in any way a priority for them, despite their nodding sagely and saying they understand the nature of the problem. It's about making some choices and decisions about the budget that include this, and the cost is not particularly high. It was about $40 million that they cut from Legal Services Society in 2002, and when, you know, the budget is billions of dollars. It's not a huge amount in the whole great scheme of things. So it's about making some really concrete decisions and understanding that an investment in this now will make a huge difference and save the public in all kinds of ways in the future. And already we've lost infinitely more money because of the short-sighted decisions that were made in 2002 since then. And it's just got to change, and it's got to be a decision to change it. You know, Christy Clark changed the minimum wage like that. I don't know why that couldn't have been done sooner. So, you know.
Alison, when I listen to you talk about these things and the effect on the legal system overall, on what happens with jurisprudence, on the effect on poor people on the ground who become further marginalized by not being able to deal with legal issues, it seems like in BC this is an issue that's central to having a fair society and a society that that has some semblance of equality. What can people do to try and pressure the government to move on this issue?
I think the government has often used the excuse that this isn't a priority for the public, and I think that's a good excuse when you take things away from people when they're most vulnerable. It's really hard for people to speak up about this issue when they're in the middle of the stress of trying to deal with our legal system. I think it behooves all of us to consider, I hate to tell people to read long commission reports, but frankly, this isn't a hard read. I think thinking about it and being aware of what the issues are and talking to one's friends about their experiences, if you haven't already had to deal with the legal system without counsel, it's a hard issue, and I think talking to our governments about it and saying why we think it's fair to spend a little bit of money now to save us all and to make to make our society what we think it ought to be, which is fair and just and equal.
It's been great talking to you this morning. Thank you very much for joining me.
Oh, my pleasure, Lynn. Thank you for asking me.
Okay, bye, Alison.
Okay, bye.
I've been speaking with Alison Bruin. She's co-chair of the Coalition for Public Legal Services, and she's the executive director of West Coast LEAF, Women's Legal Education and Action Fund.